If you would turn in the scripture with me today to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. This sermon is the second installment of a series that began 2 weeks ago. And the first sermon that we preached from this was the reality that we are to believe something. There are three things God gives us as a command, and we are supposed to keep this command. So let us read verses 11 through 16. But you, man of God, flee from all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance, and judgment. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who is like everything in Christ Jesus, who while testifying your conscience by them, made your good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only Redeemer, the only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives an unapproachable life, with no man to see or can see, to him be all honor and might forever. Amen. Our first section we looked at is the portion here in verse 11 that says we're freed from all this, and then we have to go back and read from what all this was. And it is all the things of this world. We are free from the evil in this world, the self-love in this world, the thing promotion that all this stuff is out there, and we need to have it. And we are free from these evil desires and these evil things that come into our lives. And for some reason, I'm trying to get it out. But as we understand the fleeing part, there's also something else we need to remember, and that is the fact that we're supposed to fight. Now, it may sound strange to go from one aspect we're supposed to flee and another aspect we're supposed to fight. So how do we continue to do this without growing into confusion? Well, the reality is fleeing is from one thing, fighting is another. We have to understand the things that we flee, we don't fight. We simply get away from them. Okay? You leave them. You don't fight them. You don't even attempt to fight them. But the things that we do fight, we don't flee from. We kind of see some of that today in our praise portion of our service. And it's that today that I want to talk about. Because as we find ourselves walking in the midst of the battle, we need to understand there are several pieces that have to come together in order for us to fight the good fight. And the first thing we have to remember is we must be prepared to fight. Now, you've heard the scripture already. So turn to it, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The 10th verse, the 6th chapter, the book of Ephesians, we read these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. When I say that we're supposed to be prepared, we're told here to put on the full armor of God. We need to understand that God wants us to be ready to do what's necessary. I liken it in my life to going hunting. Okay? I know I have a couple of hunters out there, not as many as some churches. But when I go hunting, I make sure I have my clothes and my boots. I have my gun, my ammunition, or my bow, or my arrows. And depending on what I'm doing, if I'm going goose hunting, or money, or whatever it is, depending upon the stuff that I get together to take with me. I have to be prepared, and I have to know my equipment as well. And that's one of the things that you and I need to get to do, is we need to get to know our equipment. We have to practice with it. That's part of preparedness as well. As you think about our military, you know, the guys go through what's called basic training. In basic training, they are brought up physically from wherever they are to a higher point, but they're also made familiar with the material in which they're going to be doing their work. That pack that weighs, what, 65, 80 pounds, depending on which pack you carry it through? Depends on how much you put in. It reminded me of the food candy bar. All that good stuff. But again, it's getting familiar with the things that you need to be taking with you. And spiritually, we need to be prepared. Spiritually, there are some things we need to take with us. And not just take them with us, we need to put them on. Okay? I'm not going to go hunting bear. Bear. I'm going to put on the guard that I need to protect me against the elements. Keep me safe while I'm out there and there's other hunters in the woods. Okay, I'm going to wear my fluorescent orange so when I stick out, people can see me. Alright? I'm going to have the boots on my feet, and I'm going to have a hat on my head, and I'm going to have the stuff in my backpack to stay out all day. Well, in our Christian faith, why aren't we doing those things on a daily basis? How many of us get up every morning and think about, oh, boy, I got to put on the salvation, the helmet of salvation this morning. I got to put on the belt of truth around my waist. I got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, I got to get my shield. Lord, I got my shield. Put my shield on. Oh, Lord, I need a sword. Man, don't go out the door without a sword. The world's a dangerous place without the Word of God. And don't forget your shoes. Because you certainly can't run and you won't be comfortable without it. The shoes of the gospel of peace. And you and I need to remember every day to put these pieces on. And that may mean getting up 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early, and putting them on. That means prayer. That means coming before the Lord and getting ready for the day. You know, how many of us roll out of bed, roll off, and the first thing we do is figure out on the top. Now, I know some of you don't even do that. It's set on the timer. So it's ready when you get up. All you got to do is somehow find your way to the kitchen. I guess the room will lead you. Before that first step. And the first thing we need to do when we get before our feet hit the floor is praise God on the day. And then begin putting on the armor. Putting on the armor. Because we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to begin practicing. And it's kind of funny because today, later today, I'm going to be practicing with some of the guys here in the church. Okay, talking about hunting. I'm going to take a few of the guys out because some of the equipment that we use, you need to learn how to use because it could be unsafe. Okay? I'm going to take a few of these guys out and I'm going to teach them how to climb trees. Well, that may sound foolish. But when you're hunting deer, you want to be in the tree. No, we're not hunting squirrels, we're hunting deer. But in doing so, you also have to wear a safety harness. Okay? Because you want to be safe. We need to learn how to fight the grief. We need to learn how to pull off safety harness so we're safe. So too, with our spiritual life, we need to know how to utilize the Word of God. Because we can use it in a wrong form and in a wrong manner. Amen. We can use it to say the things we want to say. We can use it as a weapon against somebody that is never intended to be a weapon against. Amen. So we need to put our safety harness on. Sometimes not just to protect us, but to protect other people from us. We need to learn how to utilize the tools and the weapons that God gives us. Because as we get ready, as we get prepared, we move forward and fight the good fight. I can tell you right now, the fight will come to you. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. You know, how many of you out there are married? Okay? How many of you don't have to go very far to find it? It seems like you need to right there in the bedroom. Okay? Not every day, but there are those days. And we're all being honest here, right? Pastor, being as honest as you can be. Because there are times when we went to bed and we were not at ease with our partner. God tells us not to go to bed angry, doesn't He? Why? Because you're going to start today angry. We need to make sure that we keep our accounts short with God and then we're prepared for the fight. Because the fight's going to start. And when it does come, and like I said, it's going to come. The one thing we need to know is that in keeping this command, the fight that we're talking about will help us destroy strongholds around us. Fighting a good fight is not about beating up your neighbors with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about going out on the street corner. I've seen this all. I mean, in fact, I remember one time I was driving down to Ocean City, Maryland with my family. We were going on vacation. And when I say family, I'm talking 25, 30 people. My wife's family. We're headed to the shore. Looks like a train going out. We're heading down the road and she's back to the preacher standing out there on the back of the pickup truck with these giant megaphones on the back of the truck. And he's standing there waving the Bible, "You're all going to hell!" He says, "No, I'm going to Ocean City." I mean, how often do you think I felt in that kind of church? "You're all going to hell! You're going to drive right in." But there's a lot of Christians, that's the way they've done life. That's the way they've done people. Folks, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about fighting a good fight. Yes, you are going to be the strongholds in the world, things that are happening in the world, but not in that manner. In that manner, you're going to drive people away. The first place you need to begin that fight, well, let's let the Word tell you. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Remember, I can tell you all things. Well, not really, I'm not that smart. But I can tell you much. But unless you hear from the Word of God, you do not know that it's true. For the Word of God is truth, and truth alone. And if we cover that Word, we become sharper in our ability. And to defeat strongholds. So from the 10th chapter, beginning of the 3rd to 5th verse, we read these words. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight against are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And verse 6, "And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete." You catch that last verse? Okay? How many of us, soon to become a Christian, want to go out there and beat everybody else into it?
Are you complete in Christ? Has your obedience become complete? Are you still struggling with some things? When will our obedience come complete? Any idea? Not talk about it. When we get to heaven, that's exactly right. Because until then, we are not going to be complete because Jesus has made it complete. It's like that cocoon that I'm talking about with children. While we're on this earth, we're in this battle. We are fighting to get out of this cocoon, which is the body that we find ourselves in right now. And to the glory of God, I want to thank you for this past week. It was a hard fight. It was a long fight. But she fought all the way to the end. And we're going to talk about that at the last point today. But the reality is, we need to fight. It's fighting ourselves. It's fighting the strongholds of our own life. You're saying, I don't want you to think that fighting is going out and defeating all the ills of this world. You can't do that. I can't do that. Alright? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus changed the lives around him and they were prepared to begin the battle within. And that's exactly what it tells us here in verse 5. It tells us that we are supposed to destroy these strongholds, these arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And we're going to take captive every thought and make it obedient unto Christ. If we understand anything, I pray that it is the reality that we are fighting the strongholds of our own earthly nature. You have got to begin with you. You can't begin with your wife. You can't begin with your kids. You can't begin with your neighbors. Alright? Wait a minute, Pastor. You're telling me I can't do something. Yeah, because God just did. It has to start with you. You get it right. And when you have it complete, then you can go work on somebody else. When does it sound like you're going to work on somebody else? You know that's why it says that as the bride of Christ, you will rule and reign with him. Because once we have been established and he comes back and we are made complete, we will rule with Christ. We'll finally be prepared to be able to do the work of keeping the world whole. Because up to that point, we will not be fully whole. Now, does that mean we're supposed to stop going out and coming against evil? No, absolutely not. But you don't come against people, you come against evil. Alright? There's a big difference here. That fight is not taken to the individual, it's taken to the idiom. Think about that for a little while. Does it take it to the individual, it takes it to the idiom. Some of these things are political that we need to fight. Some of these things are cultural that we need to fight. It's not the person we need to fight. It's the idea. And it's the idea. And that's where we fall. We need to begin with us. And that begins with prayer and fasting and reading and doing what the Bible says. Together with brothers and sisters of like mind. And in fighting the good fight, we also need to remember that we want to give up. We have to remember that when we begin to defeat some of these strongholds, we have to put something else in their place. Because what happens if you drive out an evil spirit and don't fill it with the Spirit of God? What happens? The evil comes back seven times stronger, seven times more. Alright? So you may find out alcoholism, but you don't put the Spirit of God in that place, what's going to come back? It may be drugs and sex and pornography and all this other stuff. Seven times worse. Because you did not put the things of God in place. And if you look at what it says in verse 11 from our original text back here in Timothy, turn back there with me, because again, I need you to see, this is not Pastor's masquerade. This is God telling us exactly what to do. It's why he tells us to keep his command. And
you know, I think it's amazing because many of us keep taxpayers to Christ in the second commandment. And then we'll look at the attitudes and we'll look at the commandments that Jesus gave. But all of a sudden we become to something like this with the apostle, and without all that call, we really don't have to pay attention to that. The reality is, no, God's talking through Paul. This is the word of God, not the word of Paul. He was carried along by the Holy Spirit, and this is as authoritative as the very word Jesus spoke to God. And this was all the way back to the Old Testament. God told them that they were supposed to be a holy nation, a holy priesthood. They were supposed to live life, but instead, they sacrificed. And God said, you're sacrificing, I detest. Wait a minute, didn't he set up a sacrificial system? Why do you think Jesus to take away the sacrificial system, that we can no longer rely upon killing animals to be holy? Because those people weren't holy. They were a holy mess. Because all they did was sacrifice. They never lived a holy life. They didn't try to. But now, we can't sacrifice. Because there is no more sacrifice for sin once Christ died. So we have to live the holy life. That's why he said, keep this command. Okay? So after we get rid of these things, back to verse 11, what does it say? Flee from all this and pursue righteousness. Get rid of pride and put righteousness in its place. Get rid of anger and put godliness in its place. Get rid of doubt and put faith in its place. Get rid of hatred and put love in its place. Get rid of impatience and impatience and put endurance in its place. Get rid of harshness and put gentleness in its place. All those things are replacements. Those are the things we're to pursue. So we're not only to fight the good fight, but we also have a work to do within ourselves of taking on that full armor of God, which truly changes us as we prepare for that. So too is God preparing our hearts to receive those very pieces that we're putting on, that we're practicing. So we have to fight the good fight, and that good fight is a good fight is truly looking at ourselves. Now, as I said, I want you to remember that not only are we battling with the old nature within, we're also fighting the world. We're fighting for others to come to the truth of God's word and the salvation of their souls. Remember, we're not attacking people, we're attacking ideas. I have a friend of mine who I love for a lot of reasons. And he keeps telling me, Rich, you believe the way you believe, and I'll believe the way I believe. And I keep asking, what do you believe? Well, that's between me and my God. And I always tell him, you know there's only one God? Well, that's your opinion. He says, yeah, you know what they say about me? Everybody has one. Remind them of that. That dear brother to this day hates to share with me, but yet he won't leave me. Because he sees something in my life that he wishes he had. But he won't come to Christ. Do you know why? Because it means he has to give up the things of the old nature. I watch him every time I see him, and I love him. Continue to fight the good fight in front of him. Because one day, God will blind his ears, his mind, and he will begin to put on the armor of God to become a man of God. But I can't give up that fight. I cannot stop that fight. It doesn't mean that meeting must be in church and I love him. And I pray for him every day. That's why you have to fight. Being in Christ in that way. And I'm going to tell you right now, this fight is going to take some time. This fight is going to take all of our lives. This fight is going to take forever. And that's what I want you to remember. Because my third point, final point is this. This fight is to be managed. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Verses 6 through 8.
The Apostle Paul here is talking to Timothy. And we need to read this, and we need to understand exactly what is going on. From verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this to him, to the power of the Holy Spirit. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Folks, we are going to fight this fight until this life is over. It's not something we can stop. It's not something that we get out of. One of the things that I hate is passion. I like to use that word very often, but it is a word that I've used in this instance. And I hate it. When I have people, especially their people, you know, elderly people, and I won't hate people, I don't hate elderly people, but I hate this idea that when the Christians tell me here, I hate my Jews. Whoa! You bought heaven? You paid your way into heaven? How did you do that? How much did it cost? Let me see the nail marks. Let me see the spear pierced. No. We are not paying a debt. You see, those folks have learned a very, very, very wrong way of thinking about church. That church is about, we get to do it for a time, and then we get to sit back and just coast our way in. Why do I need to tell you this, Eric? It's going to be coasting in. It's going to be a fight the whole way to the end. And it's the only fight that's worth fighting the whole way to the end. Because in the fighting of it, we shall gain eternity. We're not paying dues because God paid dues. What we're doing is responding to God's love by being and doing as He has commanded us in a love response to His provision for us. Now, some of us out there are probably thinking, wait a minute, there's some pretty lousy things that happened in my life. How can my doing what God's telling me to do make things better? Well, as you get a little bit older, you might come to understand that a little bit more. I'm 50, and I'm still growing in it, and I have found that every year I walk with Him is a year that I grow smarter. I thought that was impossible. But God is a God of wonder and a God of miracles. And He's changing this old boy's mind and changing this old boy's life. And I love it because I like the man I'm becoming. And I'm glad I'm not done growing yet. Because that means there's still more for me to do. There's still more for me to learn. And until I give up my last breath, I am going to fight this fight. Not only for myself, because this is also part about being a preacher. And I hate to tell you this because you're all preachers. But we are a royal priesthood. God says be prepared in season and out of season. Because we do not know who we shall be. We need to remember that every word we speak, every action we take, somebody is watching us. All the way to the end. And you know, I don't mean to pick on Carol. I don't mean to pick on Tom or Ben. There was a lady who walked in the end. She was right there. And brothers and sisters, we fought with her. How many of us were on our knees in prayer for that wonderful lady? And the awesome thing was she did it. And it encouraged her heart to continue her fight. And she brought people to the Lord because of that fight. She strengthened people who have walked with her and seen her. And then somewhere along the line, those seeds that she planted into the lives of her friends and family will come to fruit. That's God's design. But we know this for sure. never coming to the end. She has burst forth on the other side to a glory that we can only dream about. And that day comes for us too. But we have got to continue to fight. We have to fight that good fight. We have to begin by being prepared at all times. We need to start battling and destroying strongholds in our lives all the way to the end. Not halfway through, not three-quarters of the way through. You know, I said this already, and I hope people here truly understand it. There's only one group of people in Scripture who are about to retire. You know who they are? The priests. But that's only from active duty at the temple. Then they have to get back to the work of being priests in the local community. Okay? They retired from temple worship because they couldn't plug the corners of beef up on the altar anymore. Alright? You understand that now? They couldn't plug the logs to throw up on the fire. But they never stopped working until the day they died. Nobody retired. That's an American idiot. That's all us. And we carry it through to everything in life and it's wrong. Hey, it's wonderful if you make that plan to retire and stop working. But you don't retire from God. God doesn't retire from you. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't retire just before he got to the cross? Well, I almost got there, Dad. No, he took it the whole way. And that's what we need. We need to believe that God's love is real. We need to believe that His way is the way. We need to trust that He knows how to get us there and that all this stuff works for good. Because we're told to keep this command. And we are to fight the good fight. That means fighting ourselves, being prepared, going to the tower. And once it's over, finally taking hold of the eternity. I am getting it right. How many of you know what it means to take hold of the journey? I'm not going to ask you. Gracious Father, we do. Lord, we've learned 2 weeks ago what it means to please you and what was to please you. Today, we've just begun to open the idea of fighting the good fight. Lord, these things are all going to be developed, and Brother Dave is going to be taking us to a whole new level of that next month as he opens up a series that's going to draw us into fighting this fight and what it means. And then taking hold of eternity. So Father, I'm just trying to open the door for him because there's so much yet to learn and he is longing to bring that word. So Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts for exactly what David's going to be bringing because this fight is the most important part of our lives. Just like the butterfly, if they don't fight that fight, they will die. So do, Lord, in Christ Jesus, if we don't fight the good fight, we have no way of knowing that ever before we turn. Because we really don't know what we believe. So Lord, let's fight the fight. Let's start now. We just pray.